name's Christina Jantra, and I live here in Tyler. I love Pine Cove. I wish I had time to tell you my best Pine Cove story because it's hilarious, but we don't have time. I'm the director of digital learning at Grace Community School here in Tyler, and I've been at Grace for 10 years. And 4 years ago, we started a one-to-one iPad program at the high school. And the year before we started that, I spent that whole year doing the research on it, visiting schools. And in the end, I became really burdened with the idea of starting school by handing every one of our high school students an iPad. Because I knew, these were the school families. We've been at the school for 10 years, and so these were the homes that I was sending these iPads to were my friends, and I knew that they weren't doing all they could to keep their kids safe online. So I knew that I needed to do something, because I really did take it seriously, you know, that where Jesus says to not be a stumbling block. I mean, he gave great warning with that. Well, I really did worry that what I was handing all of our high school students would end up being a stumbling block. And so I knew I needed to do the work to teach our parents. But really, I got too busy, and I didn't take the time. And so that first year we did iPads, something happened that caused me to stop everything I was doing and start doing the research. And that's where this talk has come out of. See, we had... we have chapel once a week in our high school, and once a year we have the chapel where four or five students will stand up and show pictures from their mission trip, and they'll talk about the great things they did over the summer. And so this was that chapel, and we had a student who stood up in front of the whole high school student body and explained not about a mission trip she'd gone on. Instead, she explained... And when she was in the seventh grade, she took her laptop into her bedroom and closed the door. That was problem number one. She would tell you that. And that night, she started playing Yahoo Pool, which seems really innocent. I mean, I wouldn't be concerned if I walked by and saw a student playing Yahoo Pool. But games are different now than when video games first came out. Remember, we used to be satisfied just playing solitaire against the computer. But now, games connect us with people all over the world. And so that night, she played Yahoo Pool with a guy who was actually honest about what his name was and how old he was. He was much older than her. She was, remember, in the seventh grade. And what I've learned over the last 4 years of dealing with this is that sexual predators are the most patient people. And what that guy did was over the course of... from seventh grade until her junior year, he came to Tyler her junior year and he raped her. And she had no plans ever to tell anyone. She went home and she was going to go about her life and never tell anyone. And in God's mercy, he intervened and he was found out. And she spent her senior year testifying in three trials in two different states. And today he sits in the Texas State Penitentiary for about the next 5 years, which isn't long enough in my opinion, but still, at least he's there. So as she stood and told the whole student body this story, because we never saw it coming, no one knew anything about it, I realized then that I needed to do my job and start trying to equip our parents. And so we started having these parent meetings. And the first time we had it, I'd spent about 30 hours reading everything I could, putting this talk together. And we had it, it was a Tuesday night in February. It was raining and cold, and 12 people showed up. And I was like heartbroken. But out of that, God keeps opening doors. And so I keep going and talking about this until I think the doors close or until people start really paying attention. So that's what brought us here. Hopefully in all that, you were able to write down the web address. I have my contact information, and I will give that to you again at the end, but let's get started. Just some statistics. If you don't believe that technology is our reality, these are Nearly half the global population are active internet users. And for those parts of the globe that can't get internet, Google is doing a project where they're sending up weather balloons over the continent of Africa, trying to deliver high-speed internet to the continent of Africa. I'm kind of hoping it doesn't work, because what has high-speed internet done for us? What has Pinterest done for us? It bred discontent in us. So I'm kind of hoping that they're spared that. Over 30% of the global population are active on social media. It's astounding. I mean, if you look at the number of users of like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, they're larger than some countries. And by 2019, this excites me. By 2019, half of college courses will be available online. That excites me only because my son will start college in the fall, and I'm hoping maybe that will drop prices. Because I don't know if y'all price college, but I'm going to have to get another job. Here's why this is important. Because Proverbs tells us, above all else, guard your heart. So that's what we want to do. See, I don't think that when it says guard our hearts, it's just talking to me to guard my heart. I mean, it does mean that. But I also mean that as a parent, that's my job. I'm going to guard their heart. I'm going to do everything I can. Because the reality is, 1 Peter 5:8 says, our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. And if you don't think the easiest way to get me is to go for my kids, there's my Achilles heel. They're the easiest target if you want to get to my heart. Which is why, by the way, if I keep looking at my phone, we let my son will not tell us where he's going to go to college. We really need to know because we need to start doing some housing things. And so he's gotten in at 4 schools. And we keep asking Jackson, have you made a decision? We told him the Monday after spring break he has to, that's his signing day, he has to tell us. But we let him drive with his friend down to A&M. And hopefully, thank you all of you. And I'm not even, there's no one in my family who's ever been an Aggie. But why can't he just say yes? And so we let him this morning with his friend. They drove, they left at 7 a.m. and went to a basketball game. We're hoping when he gets back from that he will tell us that he is going to A&M. But so if I keep looking at my phone, it's because he's about to leave and start heading back. And I'm somewhat worried. Look, here's the thing. Living in this technical age, digital is different. And you've got to teach your kids this. I speak at schools all over. And what I tell parents at schools is, please don't expect us to take care of this at school. We've got so many other things we have to teach your kids. This, we really need you to handle. Because this really is your job. Guarding their heart, that's your responsibility. So please take it seriously. See, we have to teach them that digital is different. Because one email sent to one person is never one email sent to one person. I had a principal who was notorious for forwarding that email that I sent to her discussing a problem I was having with another teacher. And instead of talking to me about it, she would just forward that email on to that person. You'd think I'd learn. Thankfully, she retired. But one email is never between one person. If you send me an email, or let's say you wouldn't do it, but if someone sent me an email and it was mean and nasty about someone else, I can just send it on. It's never private. Look, the power of the screenshot is going to be clear to you in just a moment. But you understand a screenshot. Our kids know it. I think moms are the fastest on the draw because at my school, I often have moms who email or text me screenshots of things they've seen our kids do online that they think is inappropriate. Look, if you can screenshot it, anybody can. And so once it goes online, it's permanent. You can't get it back. And see, our daughters are sending things that they never get back. If you've been watching the news this week, Erin Andrews, the reporter from ESPN, remember, she's the one who the guy took, stood at the peephole at her hotel room and had a video of her naked in her room, and he posted it online. And for 8 years, she has spent countless hours and thousands of dollars trying to get that back. And she can't. There's no way she will ever delete all of it. Why? Because we can screenshot, because we can record what's online. Nothing online is private. Anybody in here from Tyler? This hit us hard in Tyler. Are you? Do you live here now? Okay, good. This hit us hard here in Tyler, and it might have hit you hard because it was huge, but that whole Ashley Madison website thing, we lost a headmaster at one of the private schools here in town who, like many, had paid extra for extra level of anonymity. There's not anonymity online. One of the apps we'll look at, Yik Yak, there's a college student at the beginning of the year who went on Yik Yak anonymously, posted a terroristic threat. He didn't get to carry out his terroristic threat because the police woke him up early that morning, knocking at his door, arresting him. Even though what he posted, he thought was anonymous. We have to teach our children that. Nothing's anonymous. Nothing's private. And if it's online, if it gets online, it's there forever. I would show you this, but we're not going to take the time. In my digital notes, this video is called Think Before You Post. And if you have teenagers, show it to them. It's just a YouTube video. It's like a minute and 30 seconds long. Here's what it is. It's a girl in a school hallway, and she pins a picture of herself, a sexy picture of herself, on the bulletin board. And then she thinks twice, and she keeps coming and taking it down. Every time she takes it down, it goes back up. When she goes to class, everybody in class, including the teacher, has the sexy picture of her, and she never can get it to stop appearing. It really speaks to students. Y'all remember this photo? See, what I want you to understand is the power that technology has. Now, before we go any farther, let me tell you. I showed up here today with a laptop, an iPad, and an iPhone. I really like technology a lot. It makes some things in my life so much easier. I love that when I ride my bike or when I run, I don't do it in silence. I love my wireless earbuds. I listen to so many audiobooks because of that. I love the technology. But see, I keep seeing parents hand these devices to their kids, and they have no idea the power they're giving them. When I talk to students, what I tell them is, social media, it is your superpower. It allows you literally to communicate with the globe. See, I went to a rather large high school. My senior year, we had a little over 2,500 students in our school. We did not have that many desks. The number of desks we had did not equal the number of butts we had in the building. They were building a new high school, but for some reason they got away with it. I still don't understand that. Because for one of my classes, I literally had to sit on a table for a whole school year. Regardless, at this huge high school, if a teacher made me mad, which often happens to high school students, if a teacher makes me mad and I want to tell everyone, 2,500 kids, if I want everyone in the school to know how mad I am at whatever teacher, it was going to be really hard for me to do that. Remember, I graduated in 85, so this is well before the cell phone age. So if I wanted everybody to know, I could write it on a piece of paper. I could weasel my way into the copy Nazi's office and snag some copies and distribute. But by the end of the day, very few would have gotten the message that I was mad at a teacher, right? It's different today. Our kids get mad, or when they are excited, whatever emotion they feel, they can communicate that literally with the globe. So this picture was taken in 2009. As the plane crashes in the Hudson River, Twitter was 2 years old. And Jack Dorsey, who started Twitter, said he was about to shut it down because he thought it had been an abysmal failure. It just wasn't getting the traction until this picture was taken. This picture was taken by a guy named Giannis Kroons. And at the time of the picture, Giannis had a Twitter account, and he had 170 followers, which is about average, even for today's standards. Okay, so he took the picture, and he tweeted it out. Within an hour, it had been retweeted. Now, to retweet, if you know anything about Twitter, retweeting takes one tap. And so let's just assume his friends were like him and had, on average, 170 followers. Within an hour, that picture had been shared 4.9 million times. Do you understand the power? Remember when I just wanted to communicate with 2,500 people in my high school? That was going to be difficult. But now, with the device our kids are carrying in their pockets, they can communicate with the world. That's why we have to teach them how to use it well. Because words matter. The power of life and death at our grasp. And you know, some of you can think about words that have been said to you. Junior English, Sammy Russ, that was my English teacher. The assignment on this particular day was to write the first paragraph of our research paper. 30-something years later, I can't tell you what the paper was about, but I can tell you exactly what she said to me. Finished writing the paragraph, and I took it up to her desk, and I was pretty proud of it. And she read the first paragraph, and then in front of the whole class, she said, "If you can't figure out how to write a complete sentence, you will not be college material." And I remember just taking my paper back to my seat. And I probably didn't write anything else that day. That happened on the fourth floor. On the first floor, later that week, Martha Adcock, who was a much better teacher, she'd given us in our history class an essay test. And after she had graded mine, she called me up to her desk and she said, "Christina, you have really good ideas. And your opinions, you really organize your ideas and you develop your opinions and you explain it well. But if you don't learn how to write in complete sentences, then nobody's going to take you seriously. But here's all you have to do. You see this sentence? If you would either use a conjunction and a comma or the almighty and rarely used semi, just throw a semicolon between those two, and boom, you've got complete sentence. You know what I decided? I decided that Sammy Russ was a horrible teacher and that I could be better than her. And every year when I taught freshman and sophomore English, I loved teaching them how to avoid the almighty run-on sentence. Because Sammy Russ would take the 5 minutes it would have taken to teach me. See, words matter. The scars they leave on us. And so, considering that our kids have these devices that allow them to speak to the globe, they have to consider, which is really hard when your frontal lobe is barely developed. It's really hard to pause and think, wait, is this going to offend someone before I post this? Is this going to hurt someone for the next 35 years? I know we're asking a lot, but look, even adults mess it up. This was a tweet that was last summer. Monica Foy in Huntsville tweeted this the morning that the sheriff's deputy was shot, execution style, as he was gassing up his truck. She said, "I can't believe so many people care about a dead cop and no one has thought to ask what he did to deserve it. He had creepy perv eyes." Now, the tweet only stayed up for about an hour because her phone blew up.
Yeah, and she lived in my neighborhood.
Really?
Basically, my child was on lockdown.
It was terrible. It was terrible. But look, when she tweeted it, she only had 20 followers. See, because she thought like our students do. When I post, I'm only talking to my friends. It's contained. Because when interviewed later about it, this is what she said. "I wrote it because I knew no one would see it. because she had a Facebook account that had a lot of followers, but only 20 on Twitter. And like I said, she deleted it within an hour or two. But if you go to Google and you Google Monica Foy tweet, there are tons of screenshots. Remember what I said, the power of the screenshot? So our goal is to slow the communication down. Slow it down. And there are ways we can do that to help our kids avoid situations like this. Because it's going to be, and she did have an explanation for the tweet, which I'm not going to give. You can look it up. But the problem is now, every time she tries to get a job, if you Google her name, this comes up. This is going to follow her. And our kid, yeah, and the university, Sam Houston, the president of the university, at the end of the day, put out a press release and said that her behavior was against school student code of conduct, and she was released from the university. See, these things have consequences. So what can we do? Because it seems overwhelming. So I've boiled it down to 5 things that you can consider doing. 1, you can just set restrictions. Please don't give your kids these devices without considering the restrictions you can put on them. Now, I live in an Apple world because of the nature of my job. You can also do this on Android devices. You'll just have to Google that. And on the digital notes I will give you, there are instructions and a video that shows you how to set restrictions. But you can restrict things like, you can just turn off the internet browser. Wow, that would be awesome. You can turn off the app store so they can't put an app, install an app until they come to you first. You can restrict it so that they can't install apps that are have a certain rating. How about turn it off so they can't install music with explicit lyrics? That would be huge. Observe age restrictions. The age restriction is this: for social media and email is 13. So if you have a 10-year-old at your house that has an Instagram account, here's my challenge to you. Go home tomorrow, hug them tight, look them in the eye and say, I love you, but I learned something. And so we're going to delete your Instagram account. And they will have a fit, and they will, grief will overcome them. But you just say, look, it's because I love you, and I know. Now I know, and this is what we're going to do, because I love you. And they will say, but everybody else does. And you say, I know, we're going to pray for them because their parents don't love them as much as I love you.
I just have one quick comment. My soon-to-be ex-husband made, my daughter's 9, but when she was 8, he made her Facebook page. And as badly as I want to delete it, I can't. Because I know if I delete it, he'll just make a new one.
Yeah.
If I leave it alone, I at least have control over it.
Yeah. That's true. Or you could contact Facebook, hope that they support you, but they won't, even though she's not of age. Look, 3, I beg parents to do all the time. It's the easiest one.
Stop.
Just look at it. Just look at the device. Not that I think you're necessarily going to find them doing something wrong, but you know what? They might have found an app that might be useful in your life. The big thing is the camera roll. If the eyes are the windows to the soul, well, in 2016, the camera roll is a window into the soul. Because teenagers take pictures of the things they like. They take screenshots of the things they see online that they think are funny. You might learn something about your teenager. Just look at it occasionally. Here's a fun trick you could do. A principal friend of mine, he says, occasionally on a Friday night, his son is in 8th grade, occasionally they'll sit down to watch a movie, and he'll get his son to set his phone between them and put it on silent, and they just Dad and he watch a movie, and then Dad, every time the phone vibrates, he just looks down to see who's talking to his kid. Wow, that's revolutionary. You're paying the bill. You should also take time to look at what you're paying for. It's amazing. Filter the internet, and I'll show you in the next slide the filters that I recommend. But here's the thing. Tonight when I go to bed, I will make sure that all the doors are locked. Not that I'm afraid Jackson and Grayson in the middle of the night are going to leave. They're not. They've got it really good. I'm trying to keep the bad stuff out of my house. Same thing with the internet. Why would you allow the whole world to have access to your kids? Filter the internet. It's really not that hard. In the digital notes that I'll give you, I actually have a video made by a dad that shows you how to do it. It's pretty easy. Number five, I really won't go into detail. There's stuff in the notes about it, but location services. Every digital image has a digital footprint. And that digital footprint is called an XIF file, and it will show you, it's amazing. I've installed this free extension on my computer. I can right-click on any photo I find online. Right-click on it, and it opens up that XIF file. You know what it shows? It's so detailed. If the photo was taken with an iPhone, it will tell me if it's an iPhone 4, 4S, 5, 5. If it was edited with an app, it can tell me that. But it can also tell me if location services aren't turned off. It can tell me where on the globe it was taken with pretty good precision. And so if you live in a divorce situation, that's usually where that comes up, is for the parent who doesn't have custodial responsibilities and they want it, they can track you that way, and that usually causes problems. That's why at our school, it's our policy that when we travel with students, in town or out of town, we don't allow anybody to post pictures in real time, because we've had issues before. So filter and monitor. The first one is free. The first one goes on your router at your house, and don't worry, I'm not about to get real technical with you. I can just tell you this. This one we use at my house. It's OpenDNS Family Shield, and it allows me to block categories, like all of the bad categories, but it also allows me to turn things off like chat. Remember what I said, what we're trying to do is slow the communication. We're living in a fast world. We want our information quickly, trying to slow it down, so I would turn off chat. You can also just turn websites, specific websites off. Anybody have junior high boys in your house? This is a strange phenomenon, because I had one. Now he's 18. Jackson would spend an inordinate amount of time watching YouTube videos of other people playing video games that he did not own, nor would he ever own. Ours. And so if his grades seemed to, or if he kind of disengaged from the family and I was thinking we really need to see you and hear you, I would just turn YouTube off until I was happy again. And OpenDNS, it goes on the router, but here's the thing. If they're on Wi-Fi, it will filter and monitor. If they go to 3G, LTE, LMNOP, any of those, as soon as they go to data, it's a whole different world. And filtering and monitoring their cell phone is a little more difficult. But I think the people at MobiSIP, and there's not a free one, there's not a free one that's going to be effective, a free app or service that where you can monitor and filter cell phone activity. MobiSIP is really good. They just changed their pricing structure in the last year. It's $39.95 for 5 devices per year. What it requires you to do is to take the internet browser off and put theirs on. And so that's helpful. You can also put it on the computers in the house. Woo-hoo. TeenSafe, use it. TeenSafe's really good. If you've got teenagers who are using social media, this is an easier way to monitor their internet, their social media activity. $14.95 a month. Here's the one weakness that parents always point out. I don't really consider it a weakness. I mean, it's a reality that's never going to change, and it is this. It will let you see all of their text messages to and from, because, you know, kids know how to delete. And so you would get all their text messages. The thing it won't show you is if your, let's say your daughter receives a picture, it won't show you the picture, it just will say image. It's never going to be able to do that because kids send inappropriate pictures, and TeenSafe is not going, would then be the one that's forwarding that, and that's distribution of pornography, and they're not going to go there. So you're forewarned, but it's a really good app. Did you know that apps, that the highly moral people at Apple have a rating system for their apps? And so remember that when we talked about restrictions, you can set restrictions so that your kid can't install any apps that have a 17 plus rating. That's a great place to start. Because several of the apps I'm going to show you, if parents would have just done this, would have saved a whole lot of heartache. Set the restriction, but notice in the small fine print, that's where it says the rating. The rating used to be right underneath the app icon. And then they moved it way down. But here's what it says. You must be 17 years of age to download. And you know what you do to get around that? You just press install. But if you had put a restriction on, that install button would be grayed out and they would be able to get around it. Okay? That's just one thing you can do. Let's talk briefly about Instagram. Instagram, the age restriction is 13. I don't understand. I mean, I have an Instagram account, and I try to use it to know about it, and that's what I would ask you. See, in all of this, what I'm not saying, please hear me. What I'm not saying is all technology is bad, and when you get home, you need to put it all, round it all up, and put it in the trunk, and throw away the key. I'm not saying that. At all. Technology is good and can be used for good, but we have to intentionally teach our kids how to use it well. See, this morning when Cindy was talking about Genesis, remember how it was in the garden? Remember what the relationship with God and man was? It was face to face. See, I really believe that that is innate in us. That since the fall, we've been craving that. We deeply desire face-to-face. And the one thing I think we can do, or one thing we can do to combat the damage that social media is doing, especially to our daughters, is to start seeing them, looking at them, really. Because what I hear from students all the time is, this cry of their heart that nobody sees me, nobody notices me, nobody's listening to me. For 4 years, I've been standing at school from 8 until 9 o'clock every single morning. I stand in the exact same place. I'm supposed to be there to work on their iPads if anything is broken, but the iPads don't really break, and so I'm really just standing there. But here's what I do. For 4 years, I stand there. And every kid that walks by, I look them in the eye, which sometimes is hard because they're looking down. But I make eye contact and I say their name. You'd be surprised when they hear their name. They brighten up. Because most of them walk down the hall like this. See, I think if we intentionally try to let our kids know we see them, they wouldn't be so drawn to this stuff. See, this is literally killing them because they are finding their value in that number, the number of likes. So here's what I recommend to combat that. Go home this weekend. If your kid has an Instagram account, sit down with them. You can ask, how do you use this? What is this Instagram all about? look and see how many followers they have. The first time I did this talk 4 years ago, a friend of mine was sitting in the audience, and when she went home, she sat down with her son, who was this handsome eighth grader. He had over 1,200 followers on Instagram. Okay, Tyler's not that big. How he can have 1,200 was a little shocking. What was most shocking was that when she went and looked to see who are these 1,200 people, most of them were single men in the Chicago area, which was gross. Who's following your kid? Who have you given access to your kid's heart? What I encourage parents to do, and let me tell you, it can be a battle. I will fully admit. Limit the number of friends followers they have on social media. Start with 100. I think that's generous. You know, it's like when they were little and they had toys in their room that seemed enough, but then they'd ask for one more. What would you do? Yes, but when we get home, you have to get rid of one. Well, do that on social media. You have 100. This happens every year. Kids are fun. My kids are fine with the number they have until they go to camp and they meet kids from all over. And suddenly they've got 12 new people they want to follow or to follow them. That's fine, but you're going to get rid of a few. Who are you giving access to? The other big thing is, I don't know if you've spent any time on Instagram, but it's free porn. And I didn't really realize that. In the digital notes I gave you, if you look at nothing else, look at the article about Instagram and porn. Because I never went to Instagram looking for porn, a blog post came out a few weeks ago by a blogger. Let's see, the blog is mothersniche.com. And this blogger, she's a crafty Pinterest kind of person. And she was working on a new project. She never tells you what the project was. She doesn't tell you what words she looked for on Instagram. But she was looking for whatever this craft was. And she didn't realize that whatever the word was had an extra special meaning. So she searched for it, and up came all this just porn. And she was taken aback. So I had a parent text me and say, "Christina, did you see that article about Instagram and porn?" I said, "Yeah, I saw it. Is it true?" And I said, "Well, I didn't try it myself, but yeah, I guess it's true, but let me check." So I searched I've been with junior high long enough. I knew a few words I could search for. Y'all, I'm telling you, free pound, any word that a junior high boy would think of. You could start with boobs. But don't. Just trust me on this. But look, it is so easy to get to, and you've handed this to your 13-year-old son. Your mind didn't go there first, but trust me, his will quickly. So, Instagram, that's my problem with, part of my problem with Instagram. The other thing that is that your account defaults to public. You're just giving your kids' pictures away. At least make it private. But if you make it private, and you can do it in 3 clicks, but if you make it private, just so you'll know, if you put a hashtag on a photo that is private, meaning only your followers can see, as soon as you put a hashtag on it, it makes it public. So, you know, Instagram's not working with you, they're working against you. The other thing, and this has been coming up in the media a lot, with regards to Twitter, I've seen it on Instagram, and I'll tell you the bad experience we had at school last year. About this time last year, we had a student who I don't know why, everybody seems to pick on him. And when he was in 7th grade, he had an Instagram account, and he was bullied on that, and his parents did the right thing, they shut it down. His parents went out of town, and he decided, "I'll resurrect Instagram." And boom, it hit again. I mean, in no time at all. Instagram is really difficult to work with. We tried to find, someone went and created a hate site against him. And it took us a long time to get it taken down. I've been successful out of four times I've contacted Twitter. I've gotten one site out of four taken down of just hate sites that are attacking kids. They don't want to work with us. And so before you let your kid get involved, get an account, just consider the problems that might come as a result of their involvement here. And if you're like many of the people I talk to, it's mainly moms my age, they'll say, I don't get this social media thing. I mean, who has time? I get that. I agree. And if Instagram and Facebook aren't your things, this is all I can tell you. When my kids were little, I didn't like to go to the park, ever. I hated the park in our town. It was horrible. There was no shade. And my kids loved it. You know what? I went to the park. A lot. With social media, we have allowed our kids to go on the digital playground, and we've left them all alone. And the mean people will find them eventually. Or the porn will find them. And it's our job to go to the park. Facebook, I won't spend much time on it because kids aren't there. We got there. My 78-year-old mother is there. We can tell every day when my mom gets on Facebook because she likes absolutely everything that I posted. I mean, my husband's phone will just light up and he looks at me and goes, your mom's on Facebook. And God help us if she can't get on. I almost had to make a trip to her house just to get her back on the Facebook. The problem with Facebook, really with any social media, is fake accounts. Here's what we learned with Facebook. I did a parent talk with a federal marshal, one of our school dads, and before the event, he set up two fake accounts. He portrayed himself as a high school boy and a high school girl. Facebook shut down the boy's account because it had gotten so much activity so fast. They thought it was suspicious, which I give them credit for. The girl, on the other hand, she had about 150 friends. She gave a name and a picture, not of her face, but we Googled like spring break and got beach pictures and put on her account. She had over 150 friends within 12 hours. And you think, what's the problem with that? Here's the problem with your child friending people they don't really know. One of the friends that we didn't know, I could tell you her name, I could tell you the kind of car she had, her license number, and I could tell you that night where she worked and what time she was getting off work because she put a picture of her work schedule on Facebook every week so her friends would know where she was. So you got to tell your kids what they should and shouldn't post.
And tell your husbands too.
Yes. And your grandmothers. Kick. Look, I don't know, at 49, I really don't understand why the texting app that comes on my iPhone, why it's not enough. But WhatsApp is another third-party texting app. It sold for like $3 billion, so apparently there's a market for it. Kick is and was really popular with the kids. I sound like my mom. With the children. Kick is a third-party texting app. The problem with it is this. One, I can create an account and portray myself to be anybody. Okay? Two, it only keeps 50 interactions. Here's where that's a problem. A student walked into my office crying because she said she was being sexually harassed by one of our male students using Kick. And I said what anybody would say in that situation. What did he say? And she wouldn't repeat it because she was embarrassed. And I said, could you just show it to me? And she goes, it's gone. Because Kick keeps 50 interactions. And so when that 51st one comes, it deletes the first one. And it just keeps deleting. Okay, 50 isn't a lot. If you've been around a teenage girl, you know they can do 50 in like 10 minutes. And so unless the kid screenshots it, there's no evidence. And so drama ensues. And from experience, I'll tell you, the people at KIC don't care. We contacted them as officials from a school. We had a police officer contact them, and they would help us not one bit. So be warned. But look, it has a 17-plus rating. Remember, you could do something about that. Just don't let them have apps that have a 17-plus rating. That would be awesome. Snapchat. Here's the bottom line of Snapchat. If you want to invite more drama into your life, you let your girls have it. Because that's what will happen. Now look, in all of these, please remember, I'm not saying that they're all evil and bad. Okay? I know when Jackson goes to college next year, this is how he will communicate with his sister. Now, I'm going to monitor it like crazy. And she's not going to have 5 million friends to connect with. But I know college students, this is how they communicate. I got run off the road on my bike by a student at UT Tyler who was Snapchatting as she was driving. They love this. I'm just telling you where the inherent dangers are. Snapchat, you know, it's the one where you send a picture. Remember what we said about pictures? Our kids want face-to-face. They crave it. The selling point for Snapchat is the picture, you open it, and it has a lifespan of 10 to 30 seconds. Now, every police officer will tell you, police have this little box they can connect to your phone, and they can still find the Snapchat images. They're not really deleted from your phone. You can go on YouTube, if you haven't blocked it, and you can watch 12-year-old boys explaining how to get the Snapchat photos that have disappeared. The problem is our kids are using it to send inappropriate pictures of themselves. Think back to one of my original slides. Once it's put out there, there's no way to get it back. Last year, about this time, we had a senior girl who had just been accepted into the college of her dreams. But her parents couldn't exactly afford it, and so she was hoping to get this big scholarship. In the interim, she took to Snapchat. Because, as I'm understanding it more and more, you know, when I was in school and you liked a boy, you told your friend that you liked him, or you sent a note, or I don't know what we did. But now what they do, you send them an inappropriate picture of yourself, or they ask for it. And our girls feel the pressure to give it. So this sweet little girl took an inappropriate picture of herself and she sent it via Snapchat to a boy. And he, being the kind, loving, highly moral boy that he was, he invited his friends over for the unveiling of said picture. And he held it up on his iPad, not his school iPad because we don't allow Snapchat, but he held it up, and his friends behind him had their phones ready. He took a screenshot, and then they all took pictures of it. And here's what I had to tell that sweet girl who was heartbroken because she realized within hours, now everyone seemingly has that picture of her. What I had to tell her was this, and so I tell girls, once you do that, you're holding live dynamite. For life. She had no idea when that picture is going to raise its ugly head. And she was devastated. And just as an aside, because I'm in a private Christian school, we are really good at eating our own, at shunning our own. So this girl did not want to come back to school because she's walking down the hall thinking, even though she did it herself, now she's totally embarrassed, thinking everybody, including some administrators, have seen parts of her that we don't want to see. And we're really good at shunning, but I have to tell you, one of my proudest moments at Grace Community School was this. One of her classmates' moms called and asked if the girl and her mom would come over and have tea. And she did. And so these two moms and these two daughters sat around a little table with tea. And when they sat down, the mom who had invited her to come over looked at her, and all she could do was cry. And she kept explaining to the girl the mercy and grace of God. And that was the most healing thing for that sweet little girl. And I tell you that just to inspire you that if it happens in your world, rather than shunning and rather than telling girls that they're never going to get over it and that this is going to follow them all their days, we can redeem the time. We're almost done because you have fun and games to do. So what can you do? I've been crowdsourcing these ideas for 4 years now, and these are my favorites, and they're the ones I think are most effective. Set age restrictions. I can't say it enough. It's 5 clicks on an iPhone to set restrictions. Observe age restrictions. Filter the internet. Okay? But look at this. We're going to skip through. The consequences are real. The consequences are real. In the state of Texas, if the 17-year-old who took the picture of herself and texted it via Snapchat, in Texas, the law sees that as creation and distribution of child pornography, even though it was taken of herself. For the boy who receives it, if he shares it, every share and what the police can take off of their phones is from whence it originated and how many times you shared it. Each share is distribution of child pornography. And if you think, because nobody ever believes me on this, if you think that kids, 15-year-olds, are not being prosecuted, they are. Here are just a few snapshots of news headlines from recently. And the one that stands out to me is the one from Colorado. Colorado Canyon City High School had to forfeit a football game. That would be significant in Texas.
Yes.
Here's what happened. Parent shows up at school, shows the principal a photo vault app with over 500 photos, inappropriate pictures of students at the school that have been collected over a 4-year period. See, parents could have intervened in this if they would have known what apps their kids are putting on their phone, if they would have looked at the device, but no one was. And so over 100 students were under investigation. Now, in the end, they didn't get prosecuted. The police and the DA in that town decided it was a teaching opportunity, but the parents had to get legal counsel. I mean, if it happens, you're going to be out some money and a lot of embarrassment. And look, several of those are middle school. We have to teach our kids what to do. So here are some ideas of things you can do. No device that gets online in bedrooms. That's just a really good one. It's really good. And if you start when they're young, it's a lot easier. Now, what it means for me is I end up sitting and hearing about homework a lot more than I really care to. But it's quality time with my kids. How about a technology curfew? Every educator in the state would beg you to do this. It gets more difficult as a senior with a senior in the house. He does his homework a lot later, which means mom sometimes doesn't go to bed when she wants to. But you know what? He's worth it. Charge in a safe place. Everybody charges their phones and iPads in my room. Because I'm downstairs and the door's closed. If you're going to get up in the middle of the night and get your phone, I'm really going to know. And they're not. They go to sleep. They sleep. They're ready for school the next day because they didn't have their device the whole time. If you have daughters, I encourage you to do the last one. I didn't come up with this. I was dropping my daughter Grayson off at a party, and the mom greeted all the girls with this beautiful basket and told them, put your phone, turn it off and put your phone in the basket. Now, I will tell you, if you're having a sleepover and you do that, you will have some pushback from parents. And the parents who push back, their kids don't get invited ever again because it's not worth it. But here's what happens. Here's what happens. Girls who are at the party are posting, if they have their phones, they're posting their pictures on Instagram all night. And little Sally, who didn't get invited, she's at home in her room because you let her sit in her room all night with her device with the door closed, and she is heartbroken, and you haven't protected her heart. So we can take care of a lot of things. Just greet them, get yourself a pretty basket, and ask them to put their phones in, and then give them, pass them out at the end of the night. It is awesome. Saves hearts, saves broken hearts. I would not be a good, suddenly it's not going to switch. Here's what I use. If you want to know about an app, this is where I go. It's my go-to place, commonsensemedia.org. They do app reviews, but the awesome part about it is I can look at an app as a 49-year-old woman. I can look at it and think, that's a really cool app. Let's get that for the kids. And I don't see how they're going to distort it or use it poorly. But on Common Sense Media, they'll have a tab that says what parents need to know. And that's where parents like you can go on and you can give your stories and tell other parents, oh, this is horrible, and explain why it's horrible. I started out my career as an English teacher, and I wouldn't be a good one if I didn't give you a book to read, two books. These are two fabulous books. The first one, on the, It's Complicated, is by Dana Boyd, who's brilliant. She would say that I am a fearmonger, and I'm fine with that, because she didn't have to walk that sweet senior through three trials like I did. See, somebody came to our town, to my town, and did that, so I'm going to warn you. What Dana Boyd did was she went across the country for a couple of years and just sat down with teenagers in Starbucks and in malls and asked them, how do you use social media? Just ask them questions and watch. It's a fascinating, very eye-opening book. If you work with kids, it should be required reading. There's no redemption in it, and there's no clean ending. But there is on the next book. The next story is by Tim Challis, and he tries to tell us how we can make these devices not be the rulers of our lives. So we will end with this. This is, and this is in our in your notes if you want it. Charles Martin is a Christian author, and he wrote a letter, open letter to his sons about social media, about technology. And he ends it so well, and I wanted to leave you with that. Here's what he says. He says, you are magnificent without measure, not for sale. And you are standing at the threshold of manhood. And with that in mind, I am your biggest fan. I want you to make it through the doorway intact. I'm also your dad. God made me that. It's one of my greatest honors. Therefore, please hear this. I will not sell my parental rights at the altar of pop culture or at the altar of what everyone else is doing or at the altar of indifference. Said fruit doesn't increase your coolness. In truth, having your face constantly buried in it can make you look pretty petty and insecure, neither of which applies to you. So in the famous words of Iago Montoya, let me sum it up, the world is going to try to use sex, alcohol, drugs, fame, power, and porn. The instruments are many, and the battle is constant, but you were born into a world at war, being hounded by a very real enemy, who was hell-bent on ripping your head off. Maybe I'll expand on this in a later manifesto, but fear not, for you have a king who's stronger than your enemy. And what's more, he sent you thousands of texts sitting in your inbox, string them all together, and it's the greatest love story ever told, one in which you play a starring role. Please do the hard things. Guide your kids through this vast wilderness of technology. Yes, they will think you don't trust them. But when they think you don't trust them, explain, it's not that I don't trust you. It's that I don't trust the world, because I know, because we looked at it, our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, and he will devour our kids if we are not careful. Let's pray, and then we'll go play. God, you are good, and your words are true. And I know that the enemy is out there, but we are confident that the power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us because of you. You have blessed us with children, and I pray that you will pursue their hearts in the same way that you have pursued ours, that they will know your name. So when they hear things, when they see things, they will know what comes from you and what does not. We love you, and we are grateful for this time this weekend to unplug and refresh. God bless these women and the rest of their time here in Crescent.